I'm Ryan Dobson, and thanks for tuning in to this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. The program coming up isn't just any interview. It's one of the best of the last year. So don't go anywhere, or you'll miss a message so good we just had to air it again. Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and today we are going to tackle the subject of marriage, and specifically the first years of marriage. Contrary to what popular culture would have us believe, it is possible to have a good marriage. And it often starts with the decision to have a long-term happy marriage. It's one I made myself, which we will get to later, and that's why we've got Pam and Bill Farrell with us today. Relationship specialists, best-selling authors, and they're going to help us try and show people how to lay a strong foundation for our marriages. And as I said earlier, especially in the early years, they are a fun couple, and I want to introduce them now. Bill and Pam have a ministry called LoveWise, connecting love and wisdom. Bill's got an MDiv in practical theology with an emphasis in counseling. Pam is the director of a women's ministry, and you've worked in radio, and you're both authors of over 38 books, including the bestsellers Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti, which we've talked about here on the program, The 10 Best Decisions a Couple Can Make. And the last program I think we did together was on Red Hot Monogamy.
Red Hot Monogamy.
Ooh, yeah.
The favorite of men all over the country.
Hey, women
That's right.
Too.
Yeah. And women too. Definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here. You traveled from beautiful San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
To beautiful Colorado Springs.
It is. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Just colder, but beautiful.
Oh, colder. I used to live in San Clemente, just on the northern tip of San Diego County, southern tip of Orange County. I loved it so much.
You know what amazes me, though, Ryan? You know, we talk about weather is not any better anywhere than it is in San Diego. But I have found that where people grow up, they're emotionally attached to.
Okay.
And they seem to love the weather there. Like I had a group of people recently in Minnesota. This is last year, late spring. They were mad because it wasn't cold enough in the winter for them to do all their winter sports.
I know.
And my little Southern California brain was just frying.
Absolutely. People move to Minnesota on purpose. And then my Minnesota fans are like, what are you talking about? And they love the cold. Hey, I have an interesting story on how I met Laura and how we got married. We got married quickly. I met her. I knew she was the one for me. I asked the people in my life who were wise, is this the right decision? Because I thought she was really pretty and I knew I had blinders on. I wasn't going to see the red flags, or at least some of them probably.
Right.
But we want to talk about the first years of marriage because there is a field of landmines, and it's as if their feet have a homing device for every one of them. They're going to step on all of them.
Yeah, marriage is a lot harder that way. That's right.
It is. Well, and there are some practical things that we should tell couples that are going to get married. You know, if you're engaged and you're going to get married, your first year, you should try not to tackle gigantic life decisions. Right. I had a friend that got married a month after he graduated college, and then they moved across country, bought a house, and started new jobs.
Mm-hmm. No children? I mean, sometimes you add that one in, too, and that would have really put you over the top.
No children, but they did all of that
that's a lot.
In like a three-month period.
Yeah,
and their stress levels were through the ceiling. Our producer is laughing because they did the same thing. Her husband did the same thing. They got married, graduated, had student loans, moved to Colorado, started working for us, and added baby to the mix.
It's a lot. When that first year, it's much easier if you can stabilize rather than ramp up your and treat it like an extended honeymoon.
Sure.
You know, let red hot monogamy, let that intimate life be one of the priorities even, you know, lay a good foundation.
Well, Pam, you and Bill talk about when you first got married, you guys bought a house, and it was built in the 50s, and you just see all the potential. What was that like? You know, a home, things break, and you got to fix it, and you've got lawns and neighbors that look at your stuff and all of those things. That has to bring up a lot of stress points.
Yeah. It was actually Bill. Like, I would have jumped into owning a home. I would have jumped into children much sooner. Bill was the voice of reason in our relationship. He's like, well, why don't we just rent for a little while? And, you know, I have an architect major, and I'll design us a home someday, so let's work on designing it
sure.
and just dreaming about it for a while.
That's actually a good thing. because you can plan. If you can't get it right away, well, you can plan for it. You can dream about it. And it kind of staves off that decision.
And it helped. And same with our children, because he was going through seminary. And so we decided to get all the education out of the way first and then buy the home. And so it's really important that you get on the same page as newlyweds. And in 10 Best Decisions a Couple Can Make, we use a house as really a metaphor of, you know, if you were going to describe your house, your home, how would it be described by a real estate agent, you know? And those early years are laying the good foundation.
That's right.
And Bill hammered up our house. I mean, he was an architect, and then he built one of our homes. And I saw how important that foundation was with the rebar, with the putting the footings in the ground.
Sure.
So those early years will build your home. Mm-hmm. And you'll either have a home that's shortcutted, or you can do it well and right and take your time, listen to those good advisors like you mentioned earlier.
Definitely.
And that will really help build a strong foundation for your love.
Well, I think some people that have been married for a while now are looking back saying, wow, I wish we would have built that foundation stronger.
Yeah. Right. You know?
And so let's talk about that. One of those things is in conflict, because it will arise. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bill, you said something interesting. When things go wrong and it gets tense, that's when the conflict comes out. Let's talk about conflict.
Okay.
What are some of the good, basic conflict things that we can tell people that have been married a very short time, are going to get married, or people that are saying, man, we need a refresher. We just keep getting stuck in this, you know, you said this and I don't always do, and, you know, that kind of a thing.
You know, we share a story in A Couple's Journey with God, like a real honest story about, we have a conflict covenant. And the reason why we have that is because we both grew up in homes that were insane. Like, my dad's an alcoholic, a lot of domestic violence. Bill's.
My mom has a very strong personality, is run by fear, and would do outlandish things. So she would throw things when she'd get angry. So she was a yeller and she was the thrower. And if those things didn't work, she was a lecturer.
And so we decided early on we needed a conflict covenant, how we were going to, like, rules of engagement, fair fights. And so we decided things like, I'm not going to run over you with the car. You know, I'm not going to swear at you. I'm not going to say something that I'd feel sorry if you got hit by a bus the next day, that at your funeral I'd be feeling bad.
Yeah.
We're going to take divorce out of our vocabulary. And when we argue, we're going to hold hands, because you're just less likely to throw stuff.
I knew she couldn't throw stuff if I was holding her hands.
Yeah.
So when you argue, you hold hands?
Yeah, it actually helps. It brings it brings the emotions down when you do that. We bring humor in as well to our relationship. So we have a password, you know, that makes us laugh or lets us restart the conversation.
It's a reboot.
It's a
reboot. Yeah. Talk about that a little bit. That's a great one. So if couples are in a fight and it's getting a little bit too heated, there's a word that you say that says, okay, let's take it down a notch, because it's kind of that key word of, okay, it got a little hot here.
Regroup. Yeah. And for us, we like to encourage couples that it's tied to a good memory and it brings a little bit of humor, and you should agree upon it. That makes a good password.
Yeah.
And
so if you don't agree on it, like saying to your spouse, hey, suck it up.
No,
not real effective.
That's a bad one.
Not helping.
But when
the first date I went on with Laura, we were going to go surfing and the water was flat. So we went down to the beach and we got breakfast. I have a picture of it. We were on the pier and I was trying to get her to stand near a pelican so I could take a picture. And Laura is a little bit afraid of wild animals, which is understandable.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I'm in my brain, I'm like, I'm bigger than a pelican. What's it really going to do? And I have a funny picture of Laura about 3.5-4 feet away from a pelican smiling. And we always laugh about that. So I could say pelican.
Exactly. Yeah. And for us, we both like the Rocky movie as newlyweds.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's this joke.
You remember when Rocky was trying to get Adrian's attention? She was working at a pet store.
Yeah.
And he would go to the pet store every day, same dumb joke. Yo, Adrian, you know what you get when you tap a turtle on the back? You get shell shock. Get it? Shell shock. And so when things are not going well in our conversation, like we're just not making progress, we're off on emotional tangents.
Sure.
I can just say to Pam, yo, Pam, you know what you get when you tap a turtle on the back? You get shell shock.
Get
right.
it?
Or we can just start tapping the turtle, yeah. which means like
oh,
we're
yeah.
just touching our
so
wrist.
So you're tapping your hand.
Yeah, yeah, so it's a little sign. So we can use it even at a party. Like if we have to like have a private conversation and it's a public thing, we'll just tap the turtle like, see you outside.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a good way to
That can also
regroup.
Be the, please come rescue me from the conversation I don't want to be in right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Help. One of our friends, they've been married now for almost 50 years. And every time we went to their house, we saw these bowls of Snickers sitting all over their house. And we're like, what's up with the Snickers? There's even Snickers in your bathroom. And they said, oh, well, we're both firstborns. And so we used to have these big knockout, drag-out fights as newlyweds because we both thought we were right all the time. And so we discovered that the whole count to 10 before you say something you regret, that's about how long it takes to eat one of those little baby Snickers bars. So when we're upset in the middle of an argument, we're like, hey, you want a Snickers? And we'll just stop and have a candy bar.
Ooh.
And I thought, how practical that is.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
And you're right. What I wish somebody had told me earlier in my life is that our emotions are always guided by decisions. And what happens in conflict is you're emotionally stirred up because, again, you have this powerful influence in each other's lives. You got emotionally stirred up. And the way to calm it down and bring it back under your control is to make a decision together. So when a couple has a plan that they follow in conflict, when a couple has a password that they've decided, hey, when we need to recover this conversation, we're going to use this password. It's those decisions that help you recapture the emotional energy of your relationship.
That's a good one. And it's a decision.
Yep.
You're in the middle of a heated argument and you're just holding on to your rightness.
Yeah.
Yes.
I had somebody tell me that when you fight with your spouse or anybody you're in a relationship with, if you get into an argument, you fight with the end in mind.
Yeah.
I love my wife.
Yeah.
I want to be married to her for the rest of my life. If that's my goal, then what are the specifics in this particular conflict?
And one thing I would say to young couples is it's not always about the specifics. Like one of the reasons why conflict is part of your marriage is marriage is forced selflessness. And then it goes to another level when you have kids.
Oh, yes.
And we like to talk about that in Christian circles, you know, be a selfless servant, give your life to the Lord. I mean, those are things that they're fun to talk about.
Sure.
They're not that much fun to live.
Yeah.
And when you get married, you certainly are enamored with each other. You're attracted to one another. Fortunately, God kickstarts romantic relationships with really strong chemicals in our brain that just keep us infatuated with one another for a while.
Yeah.
But what we're really signing up for in the long run is a process that makes us more selfless.
Yeah.
And so it's not about the dishes. It's about, will you give up your way?
Sure.
It's not about taking care of all the household responsibilities. It's, are you willing to give up some of the way you do things in order to have an intimate relationship for the rest of your life?
And I think that goes back to what you were saying, Ryan, about it's a decision of your will. You wanted to have a long-term relationship, you know, and from the get-go. And so I asked my grandmother, you know, it was their 60th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
I'm like, Grandma, Grandpa, you know, we teach on marriage. What's your secret to long-term love? And she looked at Grandpa and she said, honey, pure grit and determination. And, you know, she really had something there.
Yeah.
It is pure
grit.
We
decided.
That's right.
We're going to be married.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we'll figure out a way to make that happen.
Yeah.
And so when you put the things in place, like, okay, how are we going to fight? Let's work the plan.
Yeah.
How are we going to divide up responsibilities? Mm-hmm. Let's work the plan. Who's our success net? Like you mentioned early on, most important people.
Yeah. Talk about that, though, because there are people in your life that can be role models.
Mm-hmm.
It could be your family, but maybe your family didn't do that great of a job.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you need someone around you. I would recommend someone older, someone that's been around.
Yes.
They got a little history. They can tell you, we've been there. This is how we got through that season in life. Not someone that's going through it with you right now. We're in the same season. That's a commiserate.
Right. Those are nice friends, but they're not going to be the mentors that you're
the
looking for.
The success net around you. Mm-hmm. Dive into that one a little deeper.
And, you know, we desperately needed those role models when we got married because of the homes that we grew up in. And so Bill was wise enough. He was in youth ministry when we were newlyweds. And so we would stand at the back of the church.
Yeah, like I was. When we got married, I think we were like a lot of people. I knew both Pam and I loved Jesus. We knew that we loved each other, and we knew we had no idea what we were doing.
Not a clue.
Yeah.
So we used to hang around in the back of church, and I would eye the crowd, and I would look for couples that looked like they had some experience and still liked each other.
Oh, yeah.
Had the arm around them.
Because you can tell the opposite.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I would sit us right behind those people.
Really?
And during the greeting time, they'd have to meet us. And I would look the guy in the eyes and I'd say, you look like you're in love with her. Is this real?
You would say that?
I would say that to him. And then I would say, okay, well, how did you do it?
That's got to be a huge compliment to the wife.
Yeah.
Oh, they
I looked
it.
At you. Yeah. You look like you love her.
Yeah.
She says, oh.
Yeah.
What did you see in him?
Yeah, it's exactly right.
That's a smart question. Yeah.
And usually what happened is it ended up in an invitation to go to lunch.
Sure.
Which is a young couple getting taken out to lunch.
Free lunch. Woohoo. Angry marriage advice. Awesome.
Yeah.
And at lunch, I would ask them questions. Like, I want to know what do you do on a daily basis that works for you?
Mm-hmm.
What did you try that you would never do again?
Oh, yeah.
And now that you've had some experience, like, what advice would you give to a couple getting started? And a lot of those people, they could never get up in front and give a presentation or teach a class or any of that, but they could answer questions.
They've been through tough times, and they can answer how they made it through.
That's right.
And, you know, one of the things that we need is those mentors, you know, because we all will go through those different storms. And so if somebody who's been there, that's the person that can speak to you.
Yeah.
And so a part of the success net are those marriage mentors. But you also need practical mentors. You need some spiritual mentors, like who's going to teach you how to grow your spiritual life together and, you know, how to pray together, how to serve God together, how to raise your children to love God.
I recommend that couples get good premarital counseling before they get married. Some don't, though. And so you need someone who can talk to you about finances and raising kids. And is your kid going to sleep in your bed or on a crib? And if it's going to be a crib, when? And are you going to breastfeed or are you going to bottle feed? And what happens if you want to do one but you can't and you got to do another thing? If you've not discussed any of those things, it might be a little harder for you.
Exactly.
But those are the things that turn into important questions 6 months after you get married. Like, I remember the first time Pam, like, had this big emotional outburst. We were sitting in our living room. I said something. I still don't remember what I said.
You don't love me anymore. Run to the room. Slam the door. See if Bill followed me.
But she ran out of the living room. I'm like, what? What do I do now?
Yeah, yeah.
And I would have loved to have had somebody to call up and say, hey, this is what happened. What am I supposed to do? Like, am I supposed to go in and talk to Pam or am I supposed to sit out here and wait for her? Like, I have no idea.
And that's when we started saying we need some help here. We need some mentors in our life, that success net. And people to tell us some common sense things to do, you know, like build in some basic structure into your relationship, like pray every day.
Yep.
Before you head out the door, pray for each other. And the closer you get to God, the closer you'll get to each other. You need to hear those kind of things.
Yeah.
Serve God together because that forges your personality.
Definitely. Do you talk about a success net, getting mentors around you and different people that have good experience around you? I also tell couples it's okay to drop friends. If there are people in your life that don't have your marriage as a goal for you, a happy marriage, a successful marriage, if they are tearing your marriage down, you need to walk away from them. And that means if it's family, then you limit their exposure in your life. Yeah. If they're negative, if they're bringing you down, your marriage now is the number one thing in your life.
Yeah. And in fairness to everybody, marriage is a complex skill. It isn't magic. It isn't one of those things you push a button and it just all happens. It's a complex skill.
Mm-hmm.
And the word picture I like to use with men is we live near a couple of different fighter bases. And Ryan, if I took you down to that base today, I stuck you in an F-18, looked you in the eyes and said, I want you to fly this plane. Well, if you don't know how to fly the plane, I'm going to get some really weird reactions from you because you're going to be stressed. You're going to be overwhelmed. You're not going to know what to do. But if you get trained to fly that plane, you go for the ride of your life.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the way marriage is. If you get training and you protect it and you learn how it really works, it's a great journey.
Oh, it's amazing. It is.
If you boil down one of the best choices we made as a newlywed, it would be tough on myself, be tender on my spouse. So when you're in conflict, we tend to do the opposite. We tend to be like, I'm going to be tough on them. They need to step up. They need to change. Mm-hmm. But what God's called us to is to be tough on ourselves. What can I do right now to change? What is God calling me to look at in my life and be tender, give grace and mercy to our spouse? So it's very counterintuitive, but that's what makes marriage
work. It's a good internal conversation.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I came home. It was a week ago. Little girl, 6-year-old boy, and Lucy likes to be picked up. virtually 24 hours a day she wants to be picked up. She just raises her arms and goes, you know, she's not talking, but she can certainly let you know what she wants. And there are times where I don't want to hold her anymore. I love that kid so much. She is just, oh my goodness, I would lay my life down for her, but I don't want to pick you up anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't. And in my head, I'm like, you know what? I know Laura's picking you up all day long. She's training you to be picked up all day long. If she would just choose to not pick you up, then we wouldn't be having this conflict right now. That's the first conversation where my brain goes. Mm-hmm. And the Lord comes in and says, you do know she's home with this kid all day long. And then I think, oh, well, that's a pretty tough job.
Yeah,
my job looks pretty good. I get to go and talk on the radio and try to help people and talk about things I like. And she's got whiny kids at home that you got to change and feed and clean and, you know, all those things. It's perspective. Yeah. What's the other person going through?
Yeah. And people have a hard time doing what you just described. And it takes a lot of tough internal talking to ourselves to say, I am going to train myself to see life from their perspective. Because normally what we do is we just stay on task. Mm-hmm. Look, you need to get more efficient. You need to organize your day better. I'm doing my job. You got to do your job. People just get so critical of one another.
Yeah.
And then after being in conflict for 2 hours, they say, hey, you want to get intimate tonight?
Yeah, oh, a little red hot monogamy, like, nah.
You know, they destroyed the emotional atmosphere in their home. They've made everybody feel worse than they did before you got home. And then we want to turn the switch and suddenly everything's better.
Yeah. That's really the power of God's word that will help us at those moments where it is a choice. Do I build up or do I tear down? Mm. You know, I'll be tough on myself, tender on my spouse. It's a simple example.
That's a great, great, great piece.
And I really believe that we are looking for the wrong thing most of the time. Like Pam and I have been married long enough now that we can look back on our life.
Okay.
And the stories we talk about are the struggles we overcame together.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We don't talk about the easy times because easy times come and go and they don't create memories.
Yeah.
But I think back shortly after we got married, I decided, Pam, I need to finish my education. I feel it in my soul. I have got to do this. Because we got married after our sophomore year in college.
Okay.
And I was like, I've got to finish this. And she agreed. Shortly after I made that decision, our car broke down completely. So we rode bikes for a year.
Yeah.
Come on.
And
it
did
was
we
perfect
did we enjoy
then.
It then? Not necessarily.
But we enjoyed the outcome of it because we were youth pastors at the time. And so we had our kids pray for a miracle car. And so the kids in the youth group every week would be praying for that miracle car. And after about 9 months of riding in the fog, one of our youth group parents called up and said, my mom just passed away and we have this green Impala 67.
Ooh.
If you can pay for a $67, you know, brake job, it's yours. And so our youth group had bought us a bumper sticker by faith that said, I believe in miracles.
Uh-huh.
And so it was a great day in the youth ministry.
I thought it was going to be my other car as a bicycle.
Right, exactly. But it was a great day in the youth ministry when we got to go out. You know, now by this point, we had taken the youth ministry from a handful of kids to over 100 that got to put that bumper sticker on, I believe in miracles.
That's right.
And a lot of those kids now are married with their own families.
You know what you did for them? Here's what you did for them. This is a good point to close. We're about that time. You showed them that as a newlywed couple, where you went in your time of need was the Lord.
That's right.
You brought 100 kids into regular prayer. Well, you didn't say, hey, I want you guys to go do fundraisers and we're all going to raise money to buy us something.
Right.
You said the Lord is going to provide. You showed them faithfulness. They saw you riding your bike. I bet a lot of those kids had cars.
Oh, yeah.
They did.
And you're riding bikes.
A lot of them gave us rides.
Yeah.
Man, you are a good couple.
Absolutely.
Humble. Thank you for coming here. Thanks for coming all the way out. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ryan. It's good to be here and good to talk about real stuff.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I can count on you. I tell you what, I guarantee you there are couples that are getting ready to get married that are saying, we got some more tools in our toolbox today. Right. There are couples that have been married for a long time who are saying, you know what? I'm going to go home and talk to my spouse and say, hey, can we get a safe word? I know sometimes it gets heated and you know, we don't know what to do. And I'm going to be harder on me and more tender on you.
Yeah.
Right, tough
and
on
can
me,
I make a plug for those
you.
Couples that have been at it for a while?
Yeah.
Take a young couple to lunch.
That's right.
And just tell them, hey, if you have any questions, we'll do our best to answer them.
Awesome. Thanks for being here.
Thank Thanks, pleasure. Ryan.
Once again, the book is called The First 5 Years, Make the Love Investment That Lasts a Lifetime by Bill and Pam Farrell. It's available here at Family Talk. Get a copy for yourself or for a couple who needs a little encouragement along the way. And let's be honest, we all need that encouragement. Find that at drjamesdobson.org. Also, there is my dad's book, 5 Essentials to Lifelong Intimacy, which will help you handle the speed bumps we all encounter. And with that, I'd invite you to partner financially with Family Talk and our ministry, because we can't do it without your help. You can donate online at drjamesdobson.org by calling us 877-732-6825 or via our Family Talk app. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Family Talk's online store makes it easy for you to get your Christmas shopping done. And as long as you place your order by December 13th, your gifts will arrive on time for a Christmas delivery. We've got books, ebooks, and CD teaching series to help anyone grow stronger in relationship with God and each other. So visit drjamesdobson.org to finish your Christmas shopping today. That's drjamesdobson.org. And remember, place your order by December 13th for an on-time Christmas delivery.